sailed on the sloop John B. My granddaddy and me over the seven seas we did roam. We were drinking all night. We got into a fight. Well, I feel so broke up. I wanna go home. Now hoist up the John B. sail. See how the mainsail set. Call for the captain ashore and let me go home.
Recording here, you're gonna set me up for that show at the end of this episode. Okay, yeah. So take it from the top. Tell when I say go, you tell everyone what you're eating.
Yeah.
Go.
Ask me the question.
Oh, what are you eating?
Slice of apple.
Apple? You're a show late for that, Justin. We're all about the bananas this week.
Okay, we're gonna do it again, but faster and funnier. Eating.
Christ, Justin, you sound horrible this week. And you're not the one who's sick or tired.
I'm Christ sick and tired.
Sick and tired of me.
Mm.
You know what? Christ is a C. It's also an X. Christ literally translates somehow to X.
He does, yeah. It's,
like,
it's weird.
Christ math. X. Like, the X-Men or the Christ-Men? I bet this is, like, hack humor that's long been done in, like, the early 90s.
Is X-Factor then Christ-Factor?
Yo, you dealing with the Christ-Factor. I got everything
I ever wanted. The blood and the wine and the bread.
I know you hate Christ-Factor, but you ain't gotta crucify me like that. Guys, we're separate.
Justin, your connection is horrible. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to call you back, okay? Maybe shut down your Skype or something.
Okay.
Hanging up on Justin. Amo, you're still here, right?
I sure am.
Did you see my post inviting you over to my apartment to watch that movie, the Halloween wrestling movie?
I didn't see any such post.
Oh, no. Jamie O.D. posted a link to a trailer for a thing that people want us to review and discuss for a Halloween-themed show. And I was like, Sarah was like, invite Amo over and watch it together. And I was like, that sounds like a lovely plan. And you're cordially invited to come over and watch this.
I'm cordially invited.
Yes, and... You'll be coming to my apartment because it's makes a lot more sense for someone from the north side to come to the south side than someone from the south side to go to the north side.
What are you trying to say?
I'd get killed if I went to the north.
You'd be murdered. Directions and you just...
I traveled through the north side on the air coach last week and was not comfortable doing so.
Jeez, the Wi-Fi dropped out.
It was crazy. There he had a club called... I ate my lunch today, Amo, in D2, and I never thought about this, but I drove past when I was going through the north side. D1.
Wow.
I never knew such a place existed. But
hey, man, is this better?
It doesn't seem that much better, to be honest.
Louder.
But we'll hold
we'll,
on.
We'll make.
Let me tell you what's going on. I'm using wireless internet connection, and I didn't realize I was downloading something, and I think it took all of that power.
Yeah, but that happens sometimes. You are bare now, to be honest. So
if this is still bad, I have a last resort. I can go to a different computer.
No, this is okay. This is okay. Just maybe turn your volume down a teensy bit. You're a bit loud.
You mean I'm loud?
Yeah.
Your internal volume.
I was quiet. I'm sorry.
No, you're a bit loud and boisterous. Too boisterous for this show on the letter B.
Listen,
but before we get in,
B, I'm sorry.
Justin, stop talking over me. Your audio is bad enough already.
Is this the real shit? It can't be.
This is the real shit, Justin. We didn't stop recording. Me and Amo were talking about Irish North, Dublin North Side, South Side differences.
Yeah, tensions. Yeah.
Tensions. I'm hoping to end these tensions or at least stifle them somewhat by inviting Amo to my home. I'm offering to break bread with him at my home in the South Side.
So this has all been show, is what you're saying.
Yeah, this has all been show. I thought about stopping it, and then that would require me to join together two WAV files, and I didn't want to do that. So
I call it WAV.
I let it run. But just before we get into our Bs, just because I don't want to have this be left to the end of the show and then drag the show out for an extra 45 minutes, I want you, if you're prepared, to do your finish off your email apologies that you wrote for your hacking, your dirty hacking ways. For those who, I'll give a bit of a preamble here while you get your stuff ready. For those that aren't aware, who didn't listen to a show myself and Justin did about 2 months ago, Justin was very kind to share with the listeners his apology emails that he wrote to all of the contacts in his address book on the multiple occasions when he spammed the living shit out of them. They were quite humorous. People tend to like them, but because they were kind of long-winded, cut it off about halfway or two-thirds of the way through. I think we might have been near the end, but I'll let you finish it out and, share with the listeners where we left off from last time.
I don't remember. I'm not, quote, super prepared. I think I did two last time, right? I don't know. Don't answer that. So this is all the real show, is what you're saying.
Yeah, this is all the real show. And you can start reading out your next one, and if it sounds like something that we've heard before... Everyone who's listening to this right now, yell at their computers.
Let me say this. Do I sound okay now before I keep going?
You're fine. There's a little something in the background, but I don't
turn it lower. Just, watch. Boing. What about now?
You're fine. Let's just go.
I want to be, because, you know, a whole show of that would be bad. They'd be like, I don't like this.
Amo, I'll give you the deciding verdict. Do you think he's good to go?
I think... Oh, this is tough. What if it is bad?
Yeah.
And it's my fault. It's not even his fault.
Well, it generally comes out better in the recording than it is on the call. In fact, it always does. So I find it acceptable on the call, so it's only going to be better on the actual show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then it's fine. So, go for it.
All right. I know we launched the Figure 4 Network with the pregame show of this, where people get to listen to the shitty half hour before we start the real show. So that's kind of just a perk when you think of it that way, right?
Of course.
Great. All right. I read to recap, you know, whatever. This was like over a span of 2 years, and nefarious things were causing me to send out spam emails to my entire address book. And then last one was in December of 2011. We pick it up in July of 2012 and sent out another one. And then I read this, which said, this is no longer funny. Got broke into from Poland and Japan. Just shut up. Could it be that a computer as high-tech and up-to-date as one made in 2007 that runs Windows XP cannot compete with the internet threats of today? I'd abandon this account altogether, but if it kept sending out crap from the crap from beyond the grave, then everyone would still know my shame. Yeah, I know you all email about me behind my back. How can you not? Smug frown. This continues. Boop, 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 doop, doop, doop. And concludes a day later in July 2012 with the subject, not a spam, but a game changer. What up, people? I now regularly victimize and annoy. This has been a shared experience that has brought us all at once closer and further apart. Now I come to you as a collective for the last time with comforting news for me. Look it, look it, look it. Quote, yesterday the hacker group Dudes with threes for the middle letters company. Or deeds? Yeah.
Imagine just a normal mid-20s girl or maybe a professor or something in his 40s or 50s that is on Justin's contact book that isn't someone who would like visits the board and listens to this show and has that kind of humor, reading these emails, as Justin said. Listen to these emails through the ears of one of those people. Continue, Justin.
Yeah, this spans the whole gamut of people, from the Alan and Amo people of the world who are just computer programs that I interact with, to real-life people. Humans, adults, my parents, my brothers.
Justin's aunt Jenny was very confused by all this.
Mm-hmm. I'll continue. Yesterday, this is a quote from an article at ZDNet, which it has the word net in it, and it's not the address. It's not a .net. It's ZDNet.com. So you know they know what they're talking about. Quote, yesterday, the hacker group Deeds Company, with threes for ease, claimed responsibility for attacking a Yahoo service via union-based SQL injection and exposed 453,492 plain text login credentials. Yahoo has confirmed the breach, end quote. You guys! It wasn't me! This one goes all the way to the top. It's above all our heads and pay grades and purviews. I don't think we can even comprehend it, except for the one part where I have been proven blameless. Corroborated. Check out my fellow Yahoo victim and celebrity face of the cause, comedian and SNL writer John Mulaney. And that's the man who invented Stefan. This links to a tweet he said about getting hacked on Yahoo. But now guess what? Yahoo, in recognition that it sucks, has given us, quote, unrecognized sign-in protection that will now force nasty foreigners to verify their deceit by confirming their identity from my own American phone. And, oh wait, guess who physically holds my phone? Oh wait, that's right, it's me. In future news, my cell phone was hacked, and I'm super sorry. I texted all you guys all those ads for affordables. Frowny smiley face. For now, there is hope. Let's put this all behind us. Here is me right now. And then the punchline, which is not one for us, is just a link to that clip from Good Will Hunting where Robin Williams tells a weeping Matt Damon that it wasn't his fault. Thank you for your time. Aww. And I'm sorry to you two personally. Let me take this time now for my remorse over what you've had to deal with those coming.
Well, as I mentioned when we did this initially, I looked forward to your spammings and your hacks.
I think so it was you that we should come clean about hacking Justin's.
Oh no, Amo, you said we never would.
Well, it's the B show. I don't think there's any better time. And what was it?
What about the C show? That'd be a better time. Come clean.
Yeah. But you know, I think what are we called, Alan? I can't remember. You got the T-shirts printed, dudes with
the
three
Wet
E's.
Dudes with three O's. Yeah.
Well, right. Good one, gang. You got me. Can I just say this to conclude? Classic rib.
Oh yeah. I am this show's Mr. Perfect and Amos the British Bulldog.
Both
neither
dead.
Of us are dead when you get your hands on us. So we'll move on to our B's now, I think, guys.
Okay.
So
with our vocal exercises done, we can actually start recording.
Yes, indeed. The first thing I wanna do on this B show is my favorite suggestion we got from the listeners. We opened it up, of course, this week to the listeners, and we got about 100 billion suggestions. So we'll see how many we can do.
We should do like a rapid fire round, maybe at the end, where we just
Fire. Word association, that'd be good. Good idea, Emma. Full of good ideas.
It's good to be back.
So, the Brawl for All with today's roster is something that intrigues me greatly. And I actually just one thing to point out is I just went on Wikipedia there to look at the list of the roster to kind of gauge this. And shockingly, a huge shock, something I've never known before, Christian's real name is not in fact Jay Riso. Do you know what it is, Justin?
Jason Riso?
No, not at all.
I think I know what it is.
Emma, offer a guess.
I think it's like, is it William?
It is William. William Riso. I never knew that.
I guess he just prefers Jay.
Yeah. From now on, I prefer the name God. God Coonahan. I'm going to go with...
So there's Jay Riso, William Regal, and then that must mean Jay Lethal's real name is Stephen Lethal?
I think so. I like that... oh, and by the way, Damian Sandow, Aaron Haddad, he's Lebanese.
Huh.
Yes, he's technically not a white guy.
One of Muhammad Hassan, I'm sorry, MVP's many fake names, including Muhammad Hassan. That was a big one of Dave's fake credibility busters for the Wikipedia elite. They're like, Meltzer doesn't know shit. He doesn't even know MVP's real name, which I learned from the internet.
Yeah, that MVP real name thing has took a few forms. Justin, you'll like this one. Do you know what Heath Slater's real name is?
No.
It's Heath Miller.
Oh, yeah. He got that as part of the FCW naming system to slightly change a professional athlete's name.
Yeah.
Kenny Dykstra. Who was the guy? Dennis Rodman. Daniel Rodimer. Things like that. There's some others.
JTG spells his name Jason with a Y. JAYSON.
Jimmy.
But anyway, let's go here and let's look at this Brawl for All. I would say automatic favorite for me is one Mr. Big Show. This comes to the forefront because when I was watching wrestling the other day, my girlfriend said that when Big Show punched someone, she said that. Imagine if he actually did just punch you. And we sat and thought about that for a minute, contemplated what it would be like if Big Show actually did just punch you. Imagine if he full force reared back and tried to hurt you by putting his big old fist in your face. I have a small head. I reckon his fist is not that much smaller than my actual head. And if he just full force put it right in the middle of my face, I think it would cave in my face like through the back of my head, and his fist would just come out through the back of my head. So I like Big Show's odds. He has some boxing training as well, which is obviously going to help. I'd say he's a winner. I look at Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, guys with legit backgrounds. They're obviously going to do quite well. Daniel Bryan, he's done some training with Extreme Couture.
He rolls.
He rolls, but he... He is the issue, which he's talked about, is where his kickboxing is lacking because Takeshi Morishima broke his orbital bone. He can't see out of one eye properly. So, we got Great Khali. I think someone would just kick his legs, and that'd be like one of those pride fights. I think Great Khali would be like your perfect example. He might have even had a pride fight, but I was contacted by Pride once to have a fight.
Who are you? Who are you going to fight?
Vanilla Silva.
Wow.
Was when they were feeding him all the cans. And
2 days' notice.
They asked me, but then they actually rescinded the offer because they thought I wasn't enough of a can. They want the worst guys. So they got some 8-year-old kid from Japan. And,
I was going to say, was it part of the looking for the Japanese folk hero to finally beat him, and they thought you were Japanese?
Yeah, they found out I wasn't Japanese. I just really liked Japanese wrestling. And then they said they'd go with this Japanese kid that was there eating an ice cream instead. And they put him in with Family Silva. And Silva kicked him in the head and took his ice cream.
What a dick.
Boom. So anyway, Conan will be so proud. Who else in this roster? Any suggestions from you guys?
Well, it'd probably be more MMA influenced these days. Surely, wouldn't it? So, Undertaker got him where to go, right? You know? He's been loving it, surely.
Undertaker has the gloves, but then again, so did Vince McMahon have the gloves when he wrestled Punk the other week.
I bet Undertaker knows some technique.
He knows the go-go plata.
Imagine Undertaker shoot-pulling guard on, like, Big Show. I'd like to see that.
Is Brock Lesnar in this?
you raise a fine question. Then again...
Or much like the original Brawl for All, would they pull Dan Severn and Brock Lesnar?
I wonder if anyone could be... I wonder if does anyone on the roster even have a slight chance against Brock Lesnar. Big Show, sure they would have. If Big Show just clocked him while he was running in, maybe.
Wasn't there this triangle series of shoot throwdowns of horse arounds between Lesnar, Angle, and Big Show back in 2003? I assume Big Show did
Big
the
Show
worst.
Involved in that?
I think so.
I never knew Big Show was involved. I knew Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig and Vince McMahon were there was a lot of... people must have been taking a lot of steroids in 2003 because there seems like there was a lot of macho grappling going on. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they de-shirted before these grappling contests.
It was probably like in the shower.
I think it was like scaffold match rules because it happened like 30,000 feet in the air. So
wasn't the story always that like broke the like security door or whatever that like you're supposed to. Is supposed to remain sealed or something?
Mm-hmm.
In a post-9/11 world.
Panic. Yeah. Yep. The Vince takedown, I think, happened early on because I just remember angles with that. They wrestled at the end of 2000 on Raw, and of course it was but a swerve to beat up Commissioner McFoley. So I think that's when Vince took him down on the airplane. But the Kurt Hennig thing was definitely in 03. What were we talking about?
We're talking about a brawl for all of today's roster. And I think if you exclude Brock, my pick is Big Show. Justin, who's your pick?
Yeah, not only is Big Show large, the world's largest athlete, but he legit trained to box in his time in between stints in WWE. I'm going to go with Eve, though, because...
if she got him then, she'd be able to...
Exactly.
Tap him out with her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
I'm going with Sheamus.
Yeah. Loves to fight.
Do you think Eve and Henner, do you think, like, when they're doing it, they, like, accidentally, like, just reflex motion, like, start pulling guard and just, like, they're so used to the jiu-jitsu that they, like, he's, like, caressing her, and she grabs an arm bar, and she's like, oh, sorry. Just force a habit.
Yes. I think that was, it's one of those sexiest scenes in movies is where something similar happens. I don't remember what, though.
Amos so disgusted by my thought there that he just dropped off the line.
I see that, yeah. It's funny, he gets his face has an ellipsis under it when he's pending. He's back!
Yeah, that's Amo's a big fan of Eve, and I don't think he was comfortable with me discussing her being caressed by another man.
It's too tough for him emotionally.
Yeah, I'll have to apologize to him when he gets back on here. But Justin, did you have any other bees that you wanted to that you saw that caught your eye from the pile of suggestions?
There were so many good ones.
Give me a good one.
A bevy with a capital B. I'd like to get him in on this when he comes back, but I bet he'll be able to jump in. I'd like to talk about B, 3M. I think they're amazing.
B, 3 M.
3MB, hashtag.
Oh, 3MB, okay. The three-man band. Yeah, they're pretty great. The gender inclusion is just... It's so weird, but... Amo, you're back. I have to apologize to you. I said I would. I know how much you love Eve, and I shouldn't have talked about another man caressing her in your presence.
It was when you started talking about her, like, going for chokes and stuff. I was like, man, I gotta go deal with some things.
Relieve yourself. So Justin wants to get your thoughts, Amo, on his suggestion, or one of the suggestions he liked. The three-man band, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre. Have you seen them yet?
I have not, no.
Oh.
Can you fake me out on that one?
I knew where he was going. Yeah, so they just group these guys together, Amo, and for whatever reason they're a band, and they like dress like rock stars, and Jinder Mahal awesome. Wears his turban in his rock star gear.
That's pretty excellent.
Anyone who doesn't get why Jinder Mahal is in it, and that is funny, and he still wears the thing, don't really understand the concept. Like, exactly.
Drew does headbanging, and they did a thing when they went into some random club in Nashville during Raw, and they tried to like sing on the stage, and Heath Slater told Drew to count them down, and Drew goes, a one, a two, a one, two, and then Jinder Mahal goes, no, wait, Drew, let me finish this, and he finished counting in like Indian or whatever, Arab or I'm very ignorant. Whatever language he speaks, he finished counting in that language, and it was pretty great. Yeah, and then they got kicked off the stage.
Also, part of what's charming about Jinder being in it is Drew has completely embraced it. He's gone like full X-Pac with a leather jacket and some headbanging with the hair. Whereas Jinder is in the band. He clearly likes being a part of the band, but he hasn't changed his personality from like sullen Arabic prince either, you know? The same man who was, I guess, enslaved the great Kali is now just rocking out to the music. It's totally great.
Wasn't he, like, massively rich from a really wealthy family? Wasn't that part of the gimmick?
Yes, indeed.
You think he wouldn't be getting off, kicked off the stage in some rinky-dink club in Nashville. Like, he'd be able to, like, hire out his own club and hire a lot of people to come and cheer for him.
Mm-hmm.
According to Wikipedia, they were also known as the band and the International House of Hits.
Yeah.
I don't remember the
I. I like that. Yeah, they were called that in their first promo they did backstage together, which is an amazing promo. Matt Stryker did it, and they were amazing at it, and they referred to themselves as the International House of Hits. But
there were three ideas that all originated not with me on the internet, and I would be into all of them. I just can't credit anyone with them. In the genesis of this group, one was that they were going to be fronted by Antonio Cesaro as in truly International House of Hits. Which,
oh, man.
Yeah. Would be splendid.
See, his wacky side hasn't come out near enough yet. And probably for the best, because he's trying to portray it as like a legit guy. But like, Claudio is one of the goofiest men in wrestling. And if that came out at all, I think he'd get even more over. But I think he would be great in that role.
He's just a real sweetheart.
Oh, he's such a sweetheart. Glad to see him do this.
Idea
a lot.
Number two before they had a name was just call them the NWO. Because they own it, and who cares? And then the third name was, at first, I think Heath was calling them Encore.
I'm not sure why. That's so funny. Them coming out as the NWO,
right?
And no one acknowledging it ever. Just be like, you faction here, the NWO, and don't even say what it stands for. They're just the NWO.
Just the NWO, baby.
Life. Right. And they get to air guitar while going but the music doesn't play, it's just them doing that into the microphone. It'd be amazing.
It would be worth it just to piss on
Drew doing the Scott Hall, you know, the slow walk with his hands out to the side, that thing.
Yeah, it would be worth it just to defame the name because they can and they're not going to have another NWO. And to force so many people with wrestling information websites to have to edit the NWO entry and update the list of members.
Yeah, yeah.
So, finally, the best thing was when Slater was calling themselves Encore on Twitter, and people wanted to be Encore with two R's in core, so it would be Resurrected.
Oh.
Yeah. So those are all my jokes, cited from sources. Thank you.
Amo, any suggestions stuck out to you that you want to bring up?
For B?
For B.
B! Right?
I had three. Hang on, let me ring them up.
B!
Oh, I had... we'll start with Brass Body Batista. Did you see his fight?
I did see his fight. It was amazing.
It was pretty crazy.
My favorite moment of the whole video was your man has made his entrance, he's in the cage, and then it's time for Batista's entrance. And they cut to the curtain, and they say, and there in front of the curtain is our Brass Body girl. And it's just one girl. And she kind of looks a bit like Maria, maybe. Similar type body. Nice, very nice young lady. And she starts trying to kind of play to the camera. And then she realizes the camera's still on her, and nothing's happening. But he's not coming out. So then she she tries to play the camera more, and she shakes her boobs, and she bats her eyelids, and it's all good. And still, no Batista. And it's been 5 minutes. The camera's still just on her. And she shook her boobs, all they'll shake. She's turned around and shown her ass as much as she'll turn around and show her ass. She's batted her eyelids as much as they'll bat. And then she just looks to the curtain, and she looks back to the camera, and she just puts her hands out and just goes, what? Where are they? It was the best thing I've ever seen. And then she went back to trying to be all sort of dancey, and then they came out. Then they start coming through the curtain, and she looks back to the camera, and she has a big smile. And she goes, yeah, there they are. Finally. It was brilliant. Go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. But the fight was funny. Batista getting just dinged and having the worst defense ever was pretty funny. But and I liked your man when he was as Batista gets the cage and he waves to the crowd, talks to the crowd, and then starts dancing. But bear in mind, he's dancing while he's hugged up against Batista against the cage, so he's kind of just swiveling his hips against Dave's dick, and it looks like he's just grinding on him, and he's waving to the crowd, what the fuck? And then Batista, of course, got his takedown and won the fight. This is the best thing in the whole video when they were yelling and screaming at each other after the fight. And the camera goes back to the fat opponent, and he just starts cussing at Batista and pointing at him, and then he does the world's most awkward suck it taunt. And he just kind of shoves his belly and his crotch, just goes and just shoves his pelvis at Batista. It was amazing. A great fight, fight of the year, I think, in the Observer Awards, quite clearly. Yeah. Your thoughts, Emil? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I just thought it was very... I thought it was nice to see, because we've heard about it for so long. And I like Dave. I was just hoping he'd do it and he'd win, after all this time. And he did, and he won. And it was cheaper venue than I think he was probably expecting. It wasn't the most high quality of venue or pay-per-view or whatever. Dave should be on Strikeforce or something. Come on.
Oh, he rejected lots of big money offers from the likes of Strikeforce, according to the commentators.
Well, they would say that. How would Batista do in Brawl for All?
He'd probably have done pretty well if he came in. He's trained so much recently that he'd probably be one. He'd probably have quite the...
He's durable.
Quite. Although I can't help but think that, coming off all his training, if he got in with, Jack Swagger, he'd just be immediately taken down and ridden out for however long, maybe. But
can I propose that there be an offshoot of the Brawl for All with the roster called Knife for Life, and it would be, shorthand switchblade dueling akin to Michael Jackson's Bad, because I've seen Dave do that in two movies, so I know he's awesome at it. I don't know who else maybe could wield a blade like he could.
Carlito's mate, what's his name?
Jesus
Aguilera.
Perfect.
Yeah.
A duel.
I don't know why this just popped into my
head. Also, Invader One.
Let's go to the next B. I'll tell my story later. Okay. I'm going to pick out one here. Oh, yeah. I was wondering. Bone Machine had a list here, and then one of his is Barton Fink. What the hell is that? Do we have any idea?
It's a famous movie.
Oh, okay. All right. I told something to do it like Mike Barton and the Fink.
The Fink.
No. Hybrid. All right. Let's go with...
It's a good movie. I'll say that.
Let's go with Bash at the Beach and Beach Blast. I'm going to lump these in together. WCW Beach Blast was like early 90s. Bash at the Beach was more mid to late 90s, I'm pretty sure is how it went. But Beach Blast, I know one thing I love is the Cactus Jack Sting match. So I assume it was 92. It was on McFoley DVD that came out. I loved that DVD when it came out at the time, probably around 2003. And I was just in the height of my Mick Foley and Martin at this point. And I remember being on summer holidays or Easter holidays, one or the other, and I had this DVD and stayed up late one night and I watched the Sting match from 1992, and I'd never seen it before. And they had the ramp going up to the ring, which is a novelty for me, and they're brawling on that. What the hell was that? Justin?
What do you mean?
Is that you? Okay, everything seems fine now. So yeah. An invasion there. The ramp was going to the ring. They were brawling all over it. It was just a great match, and that's my fondest memory from Beach Blast and from Bash at the Beach. And my first exposure to this was about the Revenge Game. Loving the set. I was always a Bash at the Beach kind of guy for selecting the sets in Revenge, because I'm that kind of sunny positive demeanor and a way of living, so like, I always chose that over, say, Halloween Havoc or anything like that. So I like that in that game. And also, when I first started getting Power Slam, and Power Slam was kind of alerting me to the goings-on in WCW, one of the first pay-per-views they reviewed in once I started getting it was Bash at the Beach in 1998, featuring, I can remember the pictures from this layout in the magazine quite vividly, like Rey Mysterio with a chair up against his knee getting low drop kicks by Chris Jericho, and I believe Bret Hart wrestled Booker T on this show, and it was good stuff. My favorite match I can think of from the Bash at the Beach generation was actually a Lucha six-man tag, which had one of the first air hoovies to the outside, where the guy was on his all fours in like the middle of the ring, and Hoovy jumped off him and went soaring from like the middle of the ring over the ropes, like up the ramp on like four people. It was the most inexplicable dive, crazy thing I've seen ever in wrestling. It's such a great match, and that's my favorite Bash at the Beach memory. Justin, do you hear me okay now? I can hear you perfect.
Okay. Yeah, this configuration is just unacceptable to me. I'll never do it again, and I'm sorry. I think I know the story of how it went from Beach Blast to BATB.
Please tell.
Great American Bash 91 and 92 were such terribly received shows that they canceled it. And then they like combined Beach Blast and Great American Bash into the Great American Bash at the Beach Blast, or Bash at the Beach for short. And then when they re-expanded to 12 pay-per-views, they brought back the Great American Bash name, but Bash at the Beach was already there, so it was double bashes. So that's pretty cool, huh?
That is a nice little factoid to have.
I think
not the best factoid I've heard today. The best factoid I heard today was someone telling me the origins of the word Americana, the coffee.
Americano.
Do you know what the story is behind it? It was because back in, I guess, like the one of the World
Wars.
Medieval times, we'll say. the Americans were showing up in Italy to like invade or whatever, they would go for a coffee and they'd get an Italian coffee, an espresso perhaps, I think, and it would be too strong for them. All right, so the Italian coffee makers chuckled and they made a watered down version, and they said soft Americans, we will call this the Americano.
Americano, eh? Just like me. Yeah. Gene Parmesan, how you doing?
That was the most Carl Pilkington segment we've had in some time. I'll know that.
Okay, well,
Harry knew exactly what was said.
Let me take this in a completely different direction. Anyway, we're back on the show here, everyone.
Hello.
Technical difficulties / editing for fear of getting kicked off the website.
Whoops. Coughlin. Yeah. There's a standard of Coughlin that you didn't even approach that Event Horizon.
Yeah, he said far worse things on the show.
What is your technical difficulties? Is it a shot of like you being kicked by Anderson Silva or Wanderlei Silva?
Eating the ice cream he took off the little Japanese
boy. You need a few. There's that one, and then I picture you with your arms in a shrug, with a frown, and like an overturned bowl of spaghetti bolognese on your head. We'll be right back.
Can there be one of me riding a donkey?
Of course.
With a big bowl of spaghetti bolognese overturned on my head while I'm on top of the donkey.
I fear this is going to turn towards Hispanics.
Okay.
Burro.
Chore type asks for best wrestling bum or behind.
Oh. I thought he meant like homeless Horace Hogan, the Triple H. First Triple H.
Well, I'll let you go
brawler.
First.
Exactly.
Ooh, I don't know.
What's Jack Swagger's dad's name again when he was a wrestler?
Bunkhouse Buck.
Bunkhouse Buck.
Lots of bees coming up here.
Yeah, he could be. Bunkhouse Buck was amazing. He's not the guy who had the fight on top of the truck with Goldust, the moving
that was
Larry.
Blacktop Bully.
Blacktop Bully. Another speak. Who was Blacktop Bully? Did he amount to anything ever?
Wasn't that Smash?
No way, was it?
Thanks.
I don't think so. I think he was busy perfecting his golf game or his gambling game at that point.
Yeah, it was Barry Darso.
Was it?
Yep.
Huh. Okay. He's had a lot of gimmicks.
He has. Didn't he do a Dying Days of WCW thing where he would be on Saturday Night as all of his WCW gimmicks?
Oh, yeah?
The golfer guy, etc. Never repoed anything.
That's a shame. Amo, best bum or behind?
Yeah, I don't know. Are we talking men?
I think we can talk either. I think we're open and progressive enough.
I think we should just talk men, frankly.
Agreed.
Because, you know, the other thing is just, we're not leery.
Ew.
Yeah. We're not that type of show. So, men's asses. Right. Dolph Ziggler likes to get it out there.
Yeah, it can be quite hypnotizing during that entrance.
And a little bit. I guess it's the Billy Gunn element of his kind of pie chart of influences.
Billy Gunn, Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig,
some Japanese fellow.
Kurt Angle, mm-hmm. Ric Flair. Mm-hmm.
We did this once. We put his thing together and you had a Japanese influence, but I don't understand what it was.
Did I? I don't remember doing this ever before. I can't think what Japanese influence it would be. Long-time listeners, let me know.
Please.
Okay, other good asses.
I'm trying to think.
It's like, how do you narrow it down? Too many.
Mark Henry.
That's a big old ass.
Hey, Nothing wrong with
Rikishi,
that.
I guess, if we're going down that side. He was probably the only one to use his ass as an offensive weapon.
Oh, no, no, there have been... Oh, here's another... Oh, Amo, you've just got me off on tangent there.
Best butt-butts.
Oh, best bus, but Shiro Koshinaka made a fucking 30-year career off it in Japan. He just comes out now, if he does a legend match, he just kind of hits a guy with his hip tack, butt bus, and it's all about Takeshi Morishima does a nice butt now. Shigehiro Irie, Jamie Od, will appreciate this reference. He does quite a lot of ass-based offense. Pinky Sanchez, who is like about 150 pounds, small guy, very, very thin, but he's got that kind of bony, small butt going for him, and he does a lot of ass-based offense. So, yeah, that's the ass-based offense is something that gets over with me big time. and offense based on the ass, as in, like,
working it over.
You see a lot of arm work, leg work. I think like midsection work is always good because it's harder to no sell.
You know when they like work someone's leg and they say he won't be able to stand up tomorrow? You work the ass and they're like, he won't be able to sit down.
Okay, yes. I can only think of two moves that target the ass. One is the atomic drop.
Yeah.
And the other is the viscerape when he would just put his penis in wrestlers' butts and roll around on it.
That's true. There is...
You could probably do a lot of atomic drop variations, right?
Yeah, you could. I'm trying to think. Like, if you did, like, a reverse Garvin stomp, you'd hit both ass cheeks as you ran. Just flip the guy over, you know? That'd work.
And
I think...
What kind of submission move do you envision finishing them off?
Just like getting your knuckle and just, like, grinding it in.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold the guy down and he could, like, you know the way when Batista did the double tap out with two hands?
Ah, yeah.
The guy could just be doing that or doing this sort of 2-year-old temper tantrum, pounding the ground with his fists where he gets, like, a knuckle ground into his axe.
What about the claw?
More of a squeeze, I think. Two-handed squeeze.
That's not a bad idea.
Or pulling apart. That would probably hurt.
Jesus. Pulling a fart is like dropping something in.
Oh, dropping your knee.
There's something for Noam Dar, who does the gimmick where he opens his opponent's mouth up and he puts his chewing gum into their mouth. He could do that with their ass now.
That'd be Are hell you of suggesting?
And then their ass would be stuck together. Their ass cheeks would be stuck together by the chewing gum, and they wouldn't be able to have fun in the hotel room that night if that was their way of having fun.
Are you proposing the?
Or if they're an indie guy and that was their way of making money at night, they wouldn't be able to. Anyway,
how many fingers would you use in an ass mandible claw?
Oh, you'd have to use the same fingers, right? Those two fingers. That's not what Foley had. The middle two taped up.
Would you put a sock on your hand?
Well, for hygiene purposes, you'd want to have something.
I'd hope so. Guys, this is weird!
Yeah, this is it. I bet Chore Type is... I bet all the listeners are very grateful and happy that Chore Type asked us this question. My answer to sum up quite succinctly and to override all that lewd talk, my answer is Trish Stratus. Always and forever will be.
You're a raging hetero, Alan. No one can deny it.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but she had people say Stacey Keibler, but no, it's all about Trish Stratus.
I have nine opinions on this. Can I read them to you?
On Trish Stratus over Stacey Keibler?
Just about me vis-a-vis asses. Here are the nine things I'm counting off on my fingers. One, I love to love them. Two, kick them. Three, I love to shove them. Four, I love to stick 'em. Five, love to flaunt 'em. Six, love to watch 'em. Seven, I love to pick 'em. Eight, I'm gonna kick 'em.
Did he actually? Was one of the lyrics pick them?
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Like choose them though, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I hope.
Really going just picking shit out of his ass.
Does Jim Johnston not have a rhyming dictionary? Because they're are many options for that, and he just kind of defaulted to the first.
What other options would there be?
to rhyme with pick? I don't know.
Get sick on
lick.
See.
Lick, yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Tick.
Hmm?
Tick, like go around with a pen and like put a tick on an ass if you think it's good.
Or flick with your thumb and forefinger. Boing.
Is that a thing that like anyway? Okay, so
good question.
That was weird. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, that was good. Good question, Charles. I like people think out the box like that.
Are you pronouncing that on as a rib, a classic rib?
I honestly, God, wasn't. That's still how I say it in my head, and I was just naturally coming out with it like that.
Oh, I wanted to ask you something about Bash at the Beach. May I?
Yes. Go for it.
The sequel. Do you think that because WCW put on so many shitty Starcades in the 90s, that the real WrestleMania of WCW was Bash at the Beach? God.
They had big Halloween Havocs. I used to think Halloween Havoc was like their biggest show, and I was like, what's a Starcade? I couldn't grasp
can't answer that.
The idea of the big show being around Christmas was always weird to me as a WWF fan, since they sort of took it easy around Christmas time and it was never a big period.
Let me take you back to the 80s. Thanksgiving Day. A wrestling hot bit. No, you're right. Yeah, Halloween Havoc would definitely merit. And I guess Super Brawl, because of the word Super Brawl, sounds like WrestleMania. I just think of Bash at the Beach, and I know, like, everything with Rodman, the first NWO. I assume Hogan had a blow-off match with Vader there. He had the first match with his first match in WCW against Flair. And Vince Russo did his shoot promo at the Bash at the Beach, so I don't know. What do you think, listeners? You don't care? Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, Justin, do you have a B you want to pick out from our suggestions?
B! Right. Brian Alvarez?
A fine man who employs me and sat beside me at WrestleMania while I danced to Brodus Clay song. That's my word association.
Do you think if go ahead.
Oh, it was about you. I was gonna ask Alan, what was your favorite Justin Shapiro on the Brian Alvarez show memory?
Oh, by far, Kid Cash, he's aggressive.
Yeah. Has to be, isn't it?
Also, I liked when I think I mentioned this on the last show, when Brian asked him about UFC and he couldn't understand how Justin didn't watch UFC.
Justin picked Chuck Liddell in a Tito Ortiz Chuck Liddell fight.
Did he?
He did, and you were right, Justin. Well done.
Oh,
not like me, who picked Stefan Bonner and put €20 on him.
Is that when you had your gift that said Bonner will win?
No, this was like last Saturday.
Oh!
But yeah.
Amo, how did you feel your boy Stefan did?
He didn't do very well.
Yeah. Speaking of betting on MMA, I got royally jibbed by Paddy Power, Amo, because I saw a lifeline. I was very excited earlier in this week when I saw that Jake Shields fail his drug test. And his fight result got overturned, turned into a no contest. And I was like, I bet on that fight, and I bet on Ed Herman, and I lost money. So I checked to see how much I bet, and I bet straight up, with nothing else involved, €5, and on this fight. And I was like, sweet, I get my €5 back. And I emailed them, and I was like, am I going to get my €5 back? And the guy said, yes, we've seen this was a no contest, and I'll put you through to whatever. You tell them your username, and it will be sorted from there. And I go through to the next people on the email chain, and they say, sorry, results are taken as they are at the night, and any subsequent... I was like, bullshit, he was on drugs. That's unfair. My bet should be void, and I should get €5 back, and my account should have €6.80 instead of €1.80.
Yeah, it should, because, I mean, does Jake Shields' winner's money, does he lose that?
I'm not actually sure about that.
Okay. Yeah. Other Brian Justin memories. I liked when Justin told a story about seeing the wrestlers in the airport, and he noticed how tall Test was.
He literally was tall in the airport. That's probably the
joke. Wasn't there something about Steve Blackman in that?
He's a hardcore champion. Yeah. I know these shows pretty well.
He was sitting next to Teddy Long on the plane when Teddy was a referee. And I thought about it. Another thing that would force all of the internet title histories people to update their shit.
Yeah, yeah.
If he would have fallen asleep, I could have just vertical pressed him, got a quiet count.
Just the ref had you the belt, like, put your finger
could
over
your
lip.
Could have just reclined his plane seat and then just pinned him.
Oh, yep.
Does he have to get to a certain angle on the, like, does he have to be reclined to a certain point, like, or would, say, sort of 45 degrees do it?
I think Big Show pinned somebody holding them against the wall backstage to become part
of the I dispute that. I don't think that should count. I think you should be at least 45 degrees for a pin to count.
That's a valid argument, man.
A B that I have noticed here in the suggestions that I was a very... I had very strong memories of this person. BB.
The nurse.
Yeah, the nurse. Amo, do you remember BB?
I do. I only remember her from the Armageddon 1999 VHS.
Yeah, I watched that a few times.
It doesn't work anymore.
She was in that. She Triple H made her strip at one point. She got powerbombed through the table, of course, by the Dudleys, and then she married Hardcore Holly, I believe. So an illustrious career. I don't know. Is she still with Hardcore Holly? I can't imagine so. I didn't realize that was so funny. Two questions about Hardcore Holly. One, is he still married to her? And also, two, were those tattoos that he had in that picture, were they real? And does he still have them? Because they were hideous. Oh, someone asked about Bombastic Bart and Botacious Bob. I think he has it the wrong way around. He says he's not sure if he has it the right way around. I think he doesn't. I think it was Bodacious Bart and Bombastic Bob.
Alan, can I tell you something?
What?
Bob Holly has a book coming out next year.
Whoa.
The Hardcore Truth.
Hardcore
Truth. Oh, shit. It's all going to come out there.
Would you like to know the truth? The Hardcore Truth?
I wonder what he's going to say about the time he beat up Matt Capitelli.
He was asking for it.
Yeah, respect for the business.
His brain produced a blockage in itself.
I'd like to know about the controversy of the end of the WrestleMania 2000 Hardcore Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there?
Yeah, that was a bit of a fuck up.
Give me the inside line there, Hardcore Holly. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, true. We would like said inside line.
Watched, CM Punk's DVD yet?
I'm nearly finished. I've got to the point where he's just lost the title when Randy Orton kicked him in the head. No. He's done the Jeff feud, and he's picked up some steam. He's getting Undertaker's respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome, but my question... The girl at the beginning who became, like, his adoptive sister, did her name start to be?
No, but let's just talk about this, because this was amazing to me. This was crazy, because I've always heard, like, as long as I've sort of heard Punk do interviews, or, like, shortly after I very first saw Punk, I would hear him talk about Chez! This person called Chez, who was, like... the most important person, etc., best friend. And I always thought it was a guy at first, and I saw it was a girl, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, that's his girlfriend? And I was confused. And anyway, as we all know, Punk recently in a storyline has referenced his sisters a lot, and his mom and dad. And I remember back on his final Ring of Honor show, his mom and dad came into the ring, they're like, there's Punk's mom and dad. And, of course, he talked a lot about his sisters recently, and Shailene, and whatever. And, So yeah, I was like, okay, that's all Punk's family. And then I knew he had a brother as well, and his brother had run off with the money from their backyard wrestling federation, like a lot of money and this and that. And I was like, okay, well, that's all Punk's family that I know about. And then on this DVD, it comes out that basically none of these people that are his mom or his dad or his sisters are actually blood related to him. They're all this girl Chez's mom and dad and sisters. And he went and lived with them when he just, like, left his own family. And so his actual blood family, he has, like, no contact with. I never knew that before this DVD, and I found that pretty amazing. So yeah, it made the whole Chez character in his life make sense to me, finally.
Would have been great if we were on C. That letter is so close for an extended Chez discussion. But yeah, I thought Chez was definitely, I think, the girl who punched Jericho at Extreme Rules, too.
No, that was Chaylene.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the CHs. How do you know, man?
Because I know what Chez looks like, and I don't think he ever had her on camera.
Oh. Okay. I just like, I mean, Chez came up at the beginning of the story without introduction or context, so it would just be like, the Chiron would say, Chez, or Chez's mom. And it was just like, who is Chez? What happened? But they seem like good people.
And I always, because in Punk's promos in Ring of Honor, he always talks about his dad being this horrible alcoholic, and then on the send-off, there's like this lovely man in the ring, he's like, oh, there's Punk's dad that he's getting on really well with. I guess he's over his horrible alcohol, but I guess it wasn't him after all.
Not him.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Do you know the alternate title for Hardcore Holly's Falcon Arrow move?
Oh, shit, I know this.
Do you mean the wrong one? The Holocaust?
Yes, the Holocaust.
Yeah, that was it, all right. Do you know what R-Truth's it was like he picked them up for like a suplex and then did a gourd buster like sit out, so like dropped them face first between his legs. Do you know what that was called?
No.
It was called the Hat Rack Crack.
Yep.
Hat Rack Crack. Because in one of those raps he'd go, get your hat rack crack.
That was getting in the rowdy. First rap.
Yeah.
Getting rowdy. Gotta move that thing. I love Road Dogg. You saw he's like in the rap, call him K Crush, even though his name was K Quick. Wow. Because that was like developmental.
You have to understand, and Etching, it was the year 2000 before Pro Tools was invented.
Yeah. And when Edge and Christian did their mock rap on them, they called him Crush as well. But when I was there, left confused, being like, I thought his name was K Quick. Who's this Crush character? Crush is the champion, still.
Alan is just perpetually young.
Champion of my heart, Crush. I never grew old, and I never grew to accept that Crush wasn't the champion.
You never.
But,
even when he started, quote, token up.
You see, I didn't understand that part of the
right. You just thought
the chronic. I didn't know what chronic meant.
They were
and I
to be friends.
Yeah,
meet people up.
So like, I just thought they were two big guys, and the fact that their move was called the High Times, I thought was just because
they picked
people up high and dropped them down. I was like, High Times, okay. I used to go around doing that move into swimming pools on people and be like, High Times, wait.
Should have been called One Force Trauma.
Nice. Shall we do our?
I thought of one more. Hello.
Yeah, go on. I was giving you the opening to carry on.
I'm sorry. This is it's not my usual setup. I'm at home cat sitting, so everything's off. Everything.
Your game's thrown off.
Yes, exactly. I know one more bad finisher name. Do you know what? 2004 tag team of Billy Gunn and Bob Holly, their tag finisher was called?
Oh, no, but I want to.
This is not a joke.
Holly Buff.
At least on Velocity, it was
Hall, Hall Ass.
Hall Ass. about ass plug?
And our shows always come back to referencing two wrestlers into funny terms.
they're just
the easiest of comedy.
No doubt. This is extremely easy and cheap. But no, theirs was called, at least on Velocity, the Gun Holly Bomb or the GHB.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, God. That was... And I used to think... I was getting confused because when I was watching that, I knew the term GBH for grievous bodily harm. And I was like, what the hell? Why are they saying GHB? It should be GBH. And then, of course, New Japan did it right with their stable Great Bash Heel. anyway...
Did you know that, like... RKO was a movie studio in the 30s?
No.
Isn't that weird? I had to take a film class as a prerequisite for English, or just a requisite. It came during. And they were like, of course, RKO Studios. And I was like, ha 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 ha. Oh, wait. But I don't get how that's like a play on anything. It's just more of a coincidence than anything.
Yeah. That's true. Let's do our rapid fire, guys.
Buff Blockbuster.
How we do this? Will I just say the things
just
and
say
you
a thing.
Answer it?
We'll have a 10-second discussion.
Bubble bats. Bubble bats. Amo.
Enjoyable.
I like when stuff gets hidden and then appears. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, let's just Bigelow. Move on.
Bam Bam, awesome wrestler, loved him everywhere he went, had so many different great runs in different places. One of the best wrestlers as far as having lots of cool different runs in different places. He was awesome in the NWA at the end of the 80s. He had a great run in the WWF just before that. He had his run in the WWF in the early 90s. He had his New Japan run in the early 90s. He had his ECW run where he kicked ass, loads of great matches. Bam Bam Bigelow, awesome. I'd say Bam Bam's like in my top 20 or 30 wrestlers I'm most fond of.
Wow.
I wouldn't say like favorite or best, just most fond of. I have a real soft spot for Bam Bam Bigelow. I wish he wasn't dead and he was like doing the Legends thing, because he would so be like the guy I'd pay like the $10 extra to, like literally the only wrestler. When I was at the convention at Mania, you got, like, for your ticket to be in the place, you got one free wrestler to, like, you could go up to and get your photo with and get them to sign stuff. And I picked Stan Hansen. And Stan Hansen was literally, like, the only guy who I had any interest in, like, paying money to. And it was only, like, it wasn't even expensive, but I wasn't paying money for a photo with DDP or Kevin Nash. No. Just no. So, I really do think that if it was if Bam Bam Bigelow was ever at one of these things, if he was alive, I would definitely want to get a photo with him, because he's an awesome guy. Justin, quick Bam Bam Bigelow thoughts?
Bam Bam, you're gonna get slammed. If it comforts you, I'd like to think that Bam Bam and Luna Vachon are in heaven right now, being pranked by at least some of the dead doinks.
Oh, no.
Isn't that a pleasant thought? No, that's how they'd want to.
Main squeeze, Luna Vachon.
The Greetings from Asbury Park is named after a Bruce Springsteen album. It's because of New Jersey. In fact, I know, because of New Jersey. But how about that?
I was just when I was thinking about that convention, I was thinking to myself, was Kevin Nash actually at that? I couldn't remember. Like, if Kevin Nash was, in fact, like, a couple of feet away from me, I feel like he was, so I checked it, and he wasn't back there. He made that little of an impact on me. I wasn't sure if I actually was, like, in the same room as Kevin Nash. And he says being tall makes you nervous. Maybe in an airport, Kevin, but not in a hotel.
Important distinction.
Bam Bam, I've only seen one Bam Bam Bigelow match in my life.
Whoa.
That was the Taz match.
The that is disgusting to me. That is like when Zig told me he had like never seen a Scott Hall match. And he was like, wait, you're on our way to like an indie Japanese show in England or something like obscure and niche like that. And he's like, oh yeah, I never saw a Scott Hall match. And I was like, well, I only started watching wrestling in like 2002 when I was like 12. So it's like, you fucker. So,
I did when Bigelow came back for his last national run when he attacked still undefeated Bill Goldberg. He did a promo where he's like, "Hey Bill, you know I know a thing or two about beating up football players," but it was like, "No, you don't. You lost, bro." So what was he thinking?
Well, he did put a whooping on him at times during the match.
That's fair.
That was a great match. Emo, watch the Bam Bam Bigelow Lawrence Taylor match at the very least for like a novel award.
Okay.
Getting to see like the other football players come out as like Lawrence Taylor's like henchmen. It's pretty great. Let's see. Bobby the Brain Heenan, just one of the best characters, commentators, people ever in wrestling. Just a treasure, and hopefully he stays around a bit longer and he's living a life of decent of quality, and he's happy. And when I saw him, he was at that wrestling convention, and he was chirpy, and he was positive, and he was a good guy to be around. He didn't look great, but he had a good attitude. So if he can keep that up and stick around for a while longer, I hope he can.
You just want me to say the first thing that popped into my head is the fact that when I was little, I did not know what a pre-Madonna was, because he would always say it about the Rockers, and I'd be like, I don't understand words, but he is the Brain, so he must be right.
I used to think it was pre-Madonna, too, and then I realized it was pre-Madonna. Okay.
In fact, I think I finally got the truth, because he had a WWF magazine article, which I don't know if it was ghostwritten by people, but the subject of which was usually just like, what are you reading this for when you're so dumb? And I was like, hey, how dare you? But then I'd keep reading and get insulted again and was like, damn it, it really is the Brain.
Barton Fink, it's a movie. Amo, you.
Hey, it's a good movie. It's a Coen Brothers movie. You know the Coen Brothers song?
No idea.
They did...
Seth Cohen?
They did all those movies about the country and the old man. Mm-hmm. And the...
There's no country for old man, right?
There's no country for old man. But Barton Fink's a movie about a guy and he's writing a script. And it's got John Goodman in it. And it's good. But you probably shouldn't watch it.
A truly self-reflexive postmodern exploration about the artifice of art itself.
Oh my god.
I think he read that from the back of the box. Roger Ebert said that.
Alan says it's a movie. Also the box. Next to Ebert's thing.
No, Alan
Big
says
Daddy.
It's a movie?
Question mark. And a picture of me with spaghetti on my head. Looking all inquisitive. On a donkey. Big Daddy.
Hall of Fame.
All I gotta say about Big Daddy is that I read Dave's thing about the weekend about how six people got into the Hall of Fame, and I was super excited, and I assumed that meant the issue was coming out this week. And yesterday I was refreshing the Figure Four page all night, to see if the new issue would be published. I was super excited for it, and then sure enough, the issue comes up, no Hall of Fame, and I went back and read the thing I read the weekend and said, first week of November, and I was like, oh. So yeah, disappointing. Just in a quick, you surprised that six people are going in after we had our lengthy Hall of Fame discussion?
Yeah, I think bodes well for basically all the people we thought had a strong chance, you know, and then wonder how many are the people he puts in from old-timey times, so that would actually take it down, but he seemed to imply on the board that Edge wasn't getting in, so I should have seen.
Oh, really? Okay. That's sad. Big Bully Busick. Mustache.
Eli Cottonwood. Mustache.
Mm-hmm. Briscoe Brothers. The original Briscoe Brothers, Native Americans and you didn't know they were. The new Briscoe brothers. My favorite tag team for years and years and years and years and years. Don't watch them super much these days. When I do, it's usually entertaining. Watch their promos a lot. And I always will love the Briscoes. Probably overall my favorite tag team ever. Nipping ahead of like the Steiners and a few other teams like that. So love the Briscoe brothers. Battle Arts. I'm sure you two can offer up a lot of thoughts on this. Battle Arts, I will say that I got my Battle Arts 12-disc comp in 2007, I want to say, early 2007, late 2006. I think I have like 1.5 discs left. I've been battling through like the last three or four discs for like the last 3 years. Someday I'll finish that off. Whenever I watch it, it's great. It's just.
Was that the thing with the that guy?
Santino?
Jack Evans?
No.
What was he in?
Dragon Gate?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Wasn't he in something that was like something? Oh, I don't know.
Yes.
Wasn't he something that was like something? You're not giving me a lot to work with here.
He did something that sounded like Battle Arts.
Matt Ratz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that in two years' time.
Talk about Battle Rats.
Oh, someone wanted us to talk about the Battle Calf.
Hey! Biggest nemesis of the Battle Rat.
The Battle Calf. Did you ever see the Battle Calf on WFTV? Short-lived run?
Nope.
No, okay. He was in early 90s, about 91, character that came out and he did a lot of cool flips. He was a dude from Robbinsdale High School, one of the guys came from there, friends with all like Hennig and all them. I forget his real name, but really good. He did stuff without the gimmick and the character in different territories, but really athletic, and they put him over huge, and then he just kind of went away after about like 6 television appearances.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen pictures. I was like, can you?
Yeah, there's a someone sent me, I forget who it was, a couple of years ago, it might have been Michael, he got a thing on, like, from WF Magazine at the time, a big feature on the Battle Cast.
Was it written by Bobby Heenan, and was he like, this guy is an idiot, and you're all idiots.
Battle Bowl, Amo, did you ever watch that on TV3 back in the early 2000s?
No, I don't think so. No.
And Justin, they were the guys who invaded, who WCW invaded. Do you remember that, right?
Battle Bowl? I thought Battle Bowl was the finale of the Lethal Lottery.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking Battle Dome.
Yeah. The Battle Bowl, if it took place in the Battle Dome, what a battle that would be. Battle Bowl, I think, is the reason Starcade loses its granddaddy of them all status in the WCW years.
Throwaway tournament.
Mm-hmm. Although, at the time, I thought it was freaking amazing. Like, can you imagine all those people via Lethal Lottery? I guess more Lethal Lottery than a Battle Bowl. Forget the Battle Bowl. Keep the Lethal Lottery.
Billy Gunn, underrated?
Suck it as a picture.
I always didn't quite understand the Billy Gunn is shit. And Billy Gunn is like the worst wrestler on the roster complaint. Like, he never, like, he was athletic. And yeah, people even went as far as to say, like, he wasn't a good athlete. I was like, he's clearly an awesome athlete. He can run fast, jump high, he's strong. He maybe be a bit bland and boring in the ring at times. I always thought he was kind of a bit unfairly criticized. Amo, Billy Gunn?
I liked Billy Gunn. When I think of him, I don't think of like Mr. Ass or DX or Outlaws. I think of the One. Remember the One?
I got it all.
He has it all. His music was just very uplifting, and I used to listen to it and think, man.
Did you like his team with China?
I didn't know why he was hanging out with China.
Yeah, it was so weird.
She isn't the One. Already. She's definitely not the One.
I think the problem with him is that he was expected to take this next step and be a main event heel, and he choked in all of his big matches, like the SummerSlam match with The Rock and the Royal Rumble match with Ken Shamrock.
I don't really remember those matches. Was there, like, botches in them, or were they just boring?
I believe he blew up
Oh, okay. Let's see. Big Hungry Ryback. That moment on Raw after he clotheslined Punk and the camera was shaking and he said, finish it, and the crowd were going amazing. One of my favorite WWE moments of the last few years. Barbed Wire.
Yep.
Anyone?
Remember when Cactus Jack was trying to get the barbed wire bat on top of the Hell in a Cell and he kept throwing it? Or was it a chair?
Yeah. It was a barbed wire chair. It was a flaming barbed wire chair, I think.
He just kept throwing it, and I was like, what if it hits someone? It's dangerous.
That dude was tired. That's always been weird to me when you have to climb up a cage, because once I got lost in a cemetery, and the only...
What were you doing in the cemetery, Justin?
I tried to take a...
Beating the Undertaker?
I took my car to get its winter tires put on. I don't know if that's something you have in Europe, different tires for the winter. So then obviously I didn't have a car to drive home, and I was like, I'll just walk, man. It's like 3 miles uphill, but it's a curvy path. And, so I tried to cut through the cemetery like I did when I used to walk home from school. And,
sounds like the start of that movie me and Amo were going to watch.
and this was like, I guess around 6 o'clock in, daylight savings time, so the sun was sinking, man. And I used to walk home from school sometimes that way, and you could just cut straight through the cemetery and like bisect a big chunk of windy street and come out right at the end where I live. Except sometime in the last 16 years they put up a fence at the very end of the cemetery, and so I walked all the way through it uphill and then reached the end, and there's just a large fence. And I was like, huh, fence. And I said, obviously I'll just get pissed, nut up, and climb this fence. And I made it up like 2 steps. And then for some reason I just wasn't going up any higher, even though I was pulling and pushing with my limbs. And so then I walked around the perimeter of the fence and found a sunken part and was like, aha! Work smart, not hard. And then I climbed up the smaller, sunken part of the fence, and there was barbed wire at the top of that.
Oh, shit.
So, and as I mentioned, I think the cemetery was, it's very hilly, so you can't see past in front of you because there's a hill. And then if you climb up to the top of the hill, you see more hills. So I had got completely turned around in the middle of the cemetery and didn't know which way I was going anymore. And it was getting dark. I was like, well, I guess I'm just cemetery people now. I'm dead. This is exactly how that happens. Come on.
This is exactly like this movie that we're going to watch. I'm telling you, go watch the trailer. And you'll be like, Justin, you're going to be the zombie bitch or whatever they called her in the movie.
I fully expected that to happen. I embraced my status as a cemetery folk, but eventually
did
I
you
just...
find the cemetery junction?
Actually, yes, that's how I got out. I walked the edge of the fence until finally it spit me out somewhere. And what should have been like a 30-minute walk ended up taking a good 120. So, yeah.
Why did they have barbed wire in a cemetery? It's like a zombie thing.
Stop the zombies getting in.
I was going to say, it's not.
And stop the necrophiliacs getting in.
It's not.
Oh, Justin got in.
Keep them in. I did. So yeah, barbed wire. But that wasn't my point at all. My point was like, what happens when the finish of a Hell in a Cell match requires the guy to climb to the top of the cage and they're too blown up to do it? Then what happens? They always just hurt themselves up there no matter what, but I wouldn't want to be in that position.
Yeah, no, that's luck. A barbed wire for me, I actually think Pamela Anderson's movie from the late 90s, Barbed Wire. And I initially thought that was called Don't Call Me Babe, because in the like trailer there was a thing where it was like, Don't Call Me Babe. I thought that was the movie it was called. But
One for Don't just, Call Me Babe.
Of course, she's a P or an A, so we either have to wait 6 years to get to her or we missed her shot last time. But because she starred on Baywatch, and she's a a real babe, but don't call her that. let's discuss a favorite version of Pamela Anderson. The CJ Parker Baywatch version, the Valerie Irons VIP version, Valerie Irons Protection, of course, being what VIP stands for, or the Kid Rock girlfriend version, or the Royal Rumble winner gets to go out with Pamela Anderson version.
The Rumble version might be pertinent to our interests.
Yeah. She was pretty appealing there on that.
Also, Shawn Michaels did his whole like posing stripping routine after the match and did it like all up on her, and she seemed pretty confused.
Well, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Barbed Wire was actually, Alan, if you're looking for a comedy podcast to compliment.
It does strike me as being a lot like a lot of those wrestling movies we watch.
Yeah, it was just on the Paul Scheer podcast, How Did This Get Made? They just talked about Barbed Wire, so I recognize all the references you're making with regard to Babe, etc., without even having seen it.
Interesting.
Don't call her Babe.
Were you a Baywatch fan, Justin?
I've certainly seen it. I didn't seek it out, though.
Okay, you didn't watch it regularly, like every week when it was on?
No.
Amo, you?
No, definitely didn't.
Okay. Wow, something...
I watched
something...
the parody that was on Sky One. What was that called?
Oh my god, you watched... oh, what the fuck was that called?
Was it called Baywatch?
The girl in it was called BJ.
Yeah, BJ. Oh. She was in Playboy. I remember the first live actual Playboy I ever saw was my friend came back from America, and he said, "Look what I got." And he opened up a suitcase and full of treasure, and amongst the treasure was a Playboy magazine. Whoa. And it featured BJ from that show.
Was it an American show?
I know what it's called.
What is it? I'm searching now on Google.
Son of the Beach.
Yeah, Howard Stern made it or something, produced it.
Oh, my Google search, the third result down, Kate Upton Baywatch parody. I'll be watching that later.
Bet she gets naked, Alan.
No, she's never gotten naked, unfortunately. And when she does, it will be very, very photoshopped and it will be disappointing.
That's not what it says at the bottom link of my cut-and-paste wrestling news website.
Genius. You're a great man.
Did you see those pictures of Stephanie? Jesus.
Oh, guys. I think we'll leave it there for this week, for this letter. We'll be back another time with C. And, Amo, thank you
for...
Talk
about all the C words.
Oh, jeez. Amo, oh, thank you for taking time out of your increasingly busy schedule.
I know.
I do not fault you for that. That is okay, and I appreciate you taking time to join us. And you were not feeling 100% tonight, so that as well. I appreciate Justin. Appreciate your good self as always. And I must put you on the spot once again. WrestleMania, how are we looking? Looking likely?
No. No. I'm sorry, I hadn't thought about it since the last time.
Oh,
what if I said I was going?
I'm in.
Yeah, Emo, I saw you chastising me on the board about this. I don't think you understood that my call-outs of people to go, like Todd and Justin, were people who I knew were on the East Coast of America already. I wouldn't be expecting you to make this trip, but by all means, if you want to come, Emo, I would have you happily join me on the flight, the hotel room, okay, well, maybe not the hotel room, and everything else. I would love for you to partake, but... as a realist, I just didn't see this as a big possibility. But then again, you are Mr. Manager nowadays, and you did say recently. I remember a few months ago, you did ask. You have all this money, and you don't know what to spend it on. So there's a thing.
I've spent it all on. I put it all on Bonner.
You put it all on.
I put the house on Bonner.
But there's a tremendous way to end the show. Guys, thank you very much. Everyone, thanks for listening. But before we go to our usual musical exitlude, here is something a little different in that vein. Bye, everybody. We went to
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place.
Voices in the air, I hear 'em loud and clear.
I'm a bit worried about Saturday. Do you know why?
Go on.
I heard Chibi is a wild one.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one. Ooh, if I took you home and be a woman, show me how you do. I wish I'd done the clown.
I heard he is a wild one. Wild one.